If you would take your Bibles this morning, we're going to go over here to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We're going to be talking about the miracle of Christmas. You know, when we think about the Christmas story, there are numerous miracles. And many times I have shared about the miracle of the virgin-born Son of God, that God, the eternal God, became a man. Emmanuel, as the verse right here says from Matthew 1:23, God with us. That's a miracle. But this morning, I would also like to open up three other miracles of the Christmas story. And so here in Luke, let's begin with verse 30, Luke chapter 1. And verse number 30. The Bible says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called, together with me, called the Son of God." The Son of God. God the Son. What a precious truth this is. Heavenly Father, please help us now. I pray that you would open our hearts and our ears that we might receive your truth. Lord, I pray that you'd teach us. Lord, I seek you for the Holy Spirit's filling to communicate what you would have. Lord, we do pray for our nation. And as we read this morning already from Psalm 12, we echo with David 3,000 years ago, "Help, Lord. Help, Lord. For the godly man ceaseth." Oh, Father, we pray that you would work in our land. Lord, we know the hope of every man is Jesus. Our hope, our help comes not from Washington. Our hope and our help comes from you. But Lord, we know that you care about nations. We know that you bring one, you set up kings and you take down kings. Lord, we pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that you would deliver us from evil, for indeed yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The miracle of Christmas. First of all, I want you to notice this morning the miracle of his foretold plan. The miracle of his foretold plan. You see, my God can tell the end from the beginning. What he says is so. My God has never, think about this, he has never been wrong. He has never misspoken. What he says is true and faithful. And when we think about the Christmas story, we see events unfolding. We see events that God had already hundreds of years before spoken of. In fact, if you want to go through every book of the Bible, you can find the references to the Savior, to Jesus. Jesus is the central focus of every book of the Bible. Even Jesus said that on the road to Emmaus, right? They're about him. And he is the wonderful theme of the scriptures. And from Genesis, even chapter 3 and verse 15, you can see that God would raise up from the seed of the woman one that would deliver a death blow to the serpent, speaking of the devil. And so praise God for the victory we have in Christ promised there. Right amid the sin of man in the beginning, there's the promise, the first gospel, the first message of hope, Genesis 3:15. And you know, it went on. And of course, with Abraham, it was reiterated that through his seed, all families of the earth would be blessed. Of course, speaking of the Messiah that would come through the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through Israel, through David. And so we have Jesus, the Son of God, and the Son of David. Yet, before David was, I am, Jesus said. I am. He is the eternal God. Come to us. So I think about the miracle of his foretold plan. God tells us his plan. It is his purpose. Please notice in the scriptures, Luke 1 here, verse 46. Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. The Bible says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord." Mary is understanding the precious child that God has placed in her womb. And she glorifies God. I believe at this time she's come to visit her cousin, Elizabeth, in the hill country. And Elizabeth has just made some wonderful statements that brought joy to Mary's heart. And Mary magnifies the Lord here in verse 46. And verse 47, she says, "And my soul hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. Holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And he hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich hath he sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel," notice this, "in remembrance of his mercy." And now verse 55. Let's read that out loud together. Verse 55. "As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." Wow. As he spake. Notice that, what Mary says under the inspiration, of course, of the Holy Spirit. "As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." Mary recognized that this was the fulfillment of God's plan. What he had purposed, what he had spoken, what he had promised. We could use the phrase, even though it's a political, has been a political phrase in some sense, promises made, promises kept. That is our God. Oh, I'm thankful that for a president in our day who made promises and really did in many ways, which was unusual in Washington, kept them. But oh, my God is so faithful. Oh, he has made so many promises, and he has kept them. And there are many yet unfulfilled, but he's keeping them. They will be carried out. And the word says here, "as he spake to our fathers," as Mary glorifies the Lord. Now, let's notice a little forward to Zacharias. Now, Zacharias is an older man, but a faithful, godly man. Verse 67, chapter 1 here, verse 67, just to give you a little background, Zacharias and Elizabeth were old, and they didn't have any children, and they wanted children. It's evident they prayed for children, but God gave them no child. And they were now well past the ages of childbearing years, And as Zacharias served the Lord in the temple in his administration, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and all of that and explained that he was going to have a son. Well, later on, as Zacharias has realized all these things, and even though he can't speak, because after the angel appeared to him, because of his unbelief, he wouldn't be able to speak until John was born. But you know what? Verse 67 tells us, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Notice verse 70. In fact, let's read that together again. Verse 70. "As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began." As he spake by the holy prophets, which have been since the world began. From the beginning of the world, this was God's plan. Think about that. I mean, man, if we plan forward, you know, a week or two, a month or two, maybe a year or two. Oh, but the best laid plans of mice and men come to naught. But the simplest plans of God are faithful and will be carried out according to his will. Praise God. Promises made, promises kept. You know, I think of the prophecy from Isaiah. I'll share it with you. It's a familiar verse. It's found in Isaiah 7 and verse 14. And listen at this. 740 years before Jesus came, Isaiah said these words. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." The prophets spoke of this wonderful event, the coming of the Lord Jesus, the coming of the Messiah. A virgin would conceive. This would be an unusual thing. Never happened before. One who has never known a man sexually would be with child. This was earth-shattering. Yet 740 years before it happened, Isaiah prophesied it. How about Micah chapter 5 and verse 2? 710 years before Christ came, he said it would be in Bethlehem where the Messiah would come. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." 710 years before Bethlehem. You remember when the wise men finally came after seeing the star and coming all that way, possibly from Babylon, nearly 550 miles away? They came seeking the Lord Jesus, seeking this Messiah King that was born. They saw his star and they came seeking, and they came to Herod asking, "Where is the king?" You usually find kings in palaces and fine clothing. And they come looking. And Herod is scrambling. He didn't hear about this and he's not sure what to do. And he calls his wise men he calls his knowledgeable people into his realm and into his throne room. And he says, he demands, "Where is it that he's to be born?" And they said, "The prophet Micah, in Bethlehem of Judea." And you know what? 710 years earlier, God had revealed that. Now, there we could look at a lot of prophecies. But you know what? Let's zip forward to think about prophecies that have not yet been fulfilled. Just a few. And you know, some of them we find in these very verses which I've read. Well, I guess I didn't read this one from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now here, it tells us not only that a child is to be born, a son is given, but it says the government shall be upon his shoulders. Friends, that hasn't happened yet. He hasn't ruled and reigned on earth in the literal physical sense, which is prophesied. Oh, he's coming. He's coming, and he will rule, and he will reign. And you know what? Just like maybe the shepherds on the hillside that night were wondering with some faith in their hearts, believing the Old Testament scriptures, but not having seen Jesus come, the Messiah had not yet been revealed. And that night, the angelic host came with the message of the Christ child is born. And you know what? God is still marching forward with his plan. Oh, his plan is not delayed. His plan is not derailed. His plan is not hindered. But he is on time and on schedule. Oh, the foretold plan of God. It is a miracle. Only God can do miracles. That's what a miracle is. It's something that only God can do. It's the impossibilities of human strength. And yet God can carry it out. We see God working over hundreds of years, over generations of time. And he's still at work today. Oh, my friend, the Lord Jesus wanted his disciples to realize that he was coming soon. He was coming back soon. And you know what? The disciples believed that Jesus was going to come in their lifetime. They believed it. That's why there was a fire in their soul to spread the gospel. That's why there was a willingness to die for Jesus, because they believed he would return even in their lifetime. They would be faithful. Jesus said, John 14, before he went to the cross, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, he has gone. That part is true. But he hasn't come back to get us yet. But he will. He will. You see, Christmas, the miracle of Christmas is that God kept promises, but there are more promises yet to be kept. These are exciting days in which we live. These are the last days. Even though a little over 2,000 years have passed since Christ's coming, oh, my friend, he will return for his own. You know, as Christ ascended back up to heaven, Acts chapter 1, verse 11 records how the angels standing there, observing the disciples gawking into heaven as Jesus disappeared out of sight. And the angels said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. And you know what? They went out and they spread the word and they preached the resurrection of Jesus. The miracle of Christmas. It reminds us of the foretold plan of God. And much yet unfulfilled. In Revelation, the last chapter, which is the very last bit of scripture penned chronologically, in about AD 96, let's go over there to Revelation chapter 22, the very last book of the Bible, the very last chapter of the Bible, the very last words that God has inspired. It is a completed prophecy. And in this, I want you to notice just a few verses. Verse 6, Revelation 22, verse 6. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. Amen. These things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. This is 1,924 years ago. All right, AD 96. 1,924 years ago, God revealed this to John. And he said, these things must shortly be done. verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Oh, in verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Coming again. Oh, yes, he is. The miracle of God's foretold plan. Secondly, I want you to notice the miracle of his grand timing. Notice Galatians on the slide there, Galatians chapter 5. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. But notice the first part. But when the fullness of the time was come. When the fullness of the time was come. You know, God is on time. And when we think about Christmas, and we think about all the inconveniences of the story. Maybe it's, you know, the inconvenient time in Joseph and Mary's relationship, right? I mean, why then? Well, that's what Joseph asked, of course, right? Like, this was confusing to him. But no, God was right on schedule. Oh, what about the, you know, Caesar's new tax law? And the census, this very inconvenient time to travel down to Bethlehem. I mean, this is ridiculous. But God was fulfilling his plan. You know, I don't think Joseph knew, nor Mary. It wasn't on their mind. In Bethlehem is where the Christ child would be born. No, I don't think so. I don't think they were thinking, boy, we should get to Bethlehem. If this is really the Messiah, we should get there. Not at all. Not at all. It took Caesar. It took Caesar to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. And you know what? The timing. Jesus wasn't born on the roadside. It took multiple days. Look at the map here that I have from Bethlehem down to, or excuse me, from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. There's two different routes they probably took. This darker colored route was probably a trade route. And I believe that was about 75 miles, but pretty rough. It was rough terrain, up and down, you know, mountainous region. A great change in height, in elevation. You could go the other way, the green route there, which followed the riverbed, which was probably a smoother, nicer trail, but that was longer. It was 90 miles to go that way. You know, it was difficult. It was a difficult travel. These weren't beautiful roads. There was no pavement. There was nothing like that. This was rough terrain. And as they journeyed there, Jesus, in Mary's womb, was not born on the countryside, because that wasn't the place God said he would be born. You see, my God is in control. We can trust him. And so, praise the Lord for the miracle of God's timing. He brought them in there to Bethlehem. And you know what? They were looking for a place, a normal place to lodge, right? Where you sleep indoors and you sleep on a proper mat and a bed and all this kind of stuff. But you know what? That wasn't God's plan. God's plan was the manger. That wasn't plan B. That wasn't, oops, I guess there were too many people. You know, I shouldn't have done it quite that way. I should have had him come at a different time. No. God's plan. Just carrying it out. He's in control, friends. We can look at our world today and we can say, boy, I don't know. Has God lost touch? Oh, no. He's working out his plan. Are you trusting him? Are you following him? The miracle of his grand timing. God's timing is and was perfect and will be. We can obey him. We can trust him with our lives today. You can trust him with his will for your life, friends. You can trust him. You can trust his plan for you. Don't go your own way. Place yourself in the Master's hands. Maybe you're listening online this morning and you've been resisting God's will. Maybe you don't even want to know what it is. You just kind of just want to go my own way. I've got things I want to do. Oh, friend, first and foremost, God wants you saved. God wants you saved. God wants you to know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. And as a saved person, God's not, okay, I got you saved, your sins are forgiven, you're on your way to heaven. No, I don't have any other desires for you, that's all. No, not at all. God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us, a special purpose. Thirdly, I want to draw your attention to the miracle of God's amazing motivation. God's amazing motivation. Consider this, the miracle of Christmas. For God so loved the world. In fact, would you say that verse? Let's say it slowly and thoughtfully. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved. What a precious thing that is. He loves you. It doesn't matter who you are. God loves you. God cares about you. What an amazing motivation. The love that brought my Savior from heaven's glory to a sin-cursed earth was love. He cares about you. You may feel at times, boy, nobody cares about me. Nobody cares. I mean, I just spinning my wheels, just living my life, you know, whatever. Oh, no. God loves you. God gave his precious Son for you. Amen. You realize that if you would respond to the love of God, you would find the miracle of his love. You would find the matchless grace of a wonderful Savior. Hey, I know life can be challenging. Life can be hard. The creature groans and travails and looks for the day when our redemption will be complete, in the sense of us being freed from this corrupt body, freed from sin's catastrophes, and in the presence of a holy God in heaven. You know, we must remember that God is working his plan. He knows what he's doing. He is working it out in a timely and faithful manner according to how he's promised. The story isn't over yet. Christmas is just one of the chapters. God is at work. Are you saved? You know, joining us this morning, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? We'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know that you're saved. I'd encourage you, if you're joining us online this morning, to look to the Gospel of John. Look at the Christmas story in the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, in the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, those two places. Read over it. Meditate on that. Think about how Jesus loves you and how he sent his Son to die for you. If you're here, have you been saved? Have you opened your heart to Jesus? You know, God wants to accomplish his perfect will in your life. Will you let him? Christian friend, will you let God have his way? Will you believe him and trust him? If you do, you will truly have a Merry Christmas.